This is CliffCentral.com.
My funding had dried up. I was 21 years old and had dropped out of college. Not just dropped out, but it was my third university where I hadn't finished. The first two schools were too expensive, and because my parents didn't have money to assist, I was forced to work full-time to pay for my post-high school education. Liberty Embroidery was a factory which produced the type of embroidery work you find on t-shirts such as Nike or any t-shirt with stitching in the logo. At 21 years old, I was a framer. That was my job now. Framers in the factory were responsible for ensuring the shirts were placed inside a frame perfectly to ensure when the shirts were placed on the machine that the logo and stitching work came out evenly. No one wants to wear a shirt with a Nike logo turned upside down. If I did a poor job framing, $40 shirts would end up in a factory outlet for $1, and if it happened too many times, I would have been fired. After needing to earn income to pay off debt and get back in school, I found myself framing at Liberty for 12-hour shifts. In 12 hours, I got a 30-minute lunch and two 50-minute breaks. That's right, a total of 1 hour for the entire day. After 10 hours of work, you know, and what was crazy was the factory was loud. So loud that you had to scream at the person standing next to you. I hated it, but I had no choice. One day, I literally felt myself dying. I started praying, and the answer I got was to begin imagining a future outside of Liberty. And that's precisely what I did. For hours upon hours, I would imagine myself one day becoming a best-selling author. I would imagine myself in the media, sharing talks around the world. And this led to my imagination saving my life. Welcome back to the next episode of the Brain and Brand Show, the show where we explore the extraordinary power of human and brand behavior, how brands impact people, and how people impact brands. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and thanks to everyone who follows and shares the show from all around the world. And whatever podcast platform you use, please rate the podcast. It really helps take the podcast higher in ranking. So thank you so much. This show gives me one of the greatest pleasures of my life at the moment. So I'm really grateful to everyone who follows. This show will be about the power of the imagination. And more importantly, why it is the imagination can fundamentally change your life. And why there are five selves, and your imagination self is the one you should be focused the most on. We are all movie producers. Every day we spend large percentages of our time scripting highly elaborate productions in our mind, some nonfiction and most fiction. The studio which houses and funds these mental motion pictures is entitled The Imagination. The brain has been programmed to create simulation exercises to offer us a chance to export ourselves from the present and experience the future before it actually happens. For the purposes of pleasure, basic planning, and risk management. Yep, that's why we have an imagination. The beginning of the year, as well as the end, are two critical periods when the imagination is fully engaged. But all year is important. As we enter high levels of imaginative production, we do a review to see how successful our neurological films are. Right now, whatever it is you're experiencing, whether you are listening to this in October, December, January, any time of the year, it's always good to do a review of what your imagination has been showing you. And here's why. There are five selves. Let me break down each one of these selves. You have your remembering self, or the self that you see in your memories. Any day before the day you're listening to this is in your memories. You define yourself, that self, based on the patterns and the history and all your memories. So that's your remembering self. Then you have your perceiving self. This is your observing self. This is you just sort of looking around through the lens of that identity. So you look around and you're just observing life. This is your perceiving self. And then you have number three, your acting self. The self that does, behaves, or acts in any moment. The acting self, the doing self. You have what I call the seen through others self. The self that's sort of scripted through the eyes of others. You look at your partner, your mates, you look at the people around you that are really close. These people have an idea of who you are, and you can see. We've been wired to see ourselves through them. That's how you know basic things, like if you're irritating someone, you can sort of see that you're irritating someone. So you can see yourself as a potential irritant, even if you don't think you're an irritant. Even if you think that what you're doing is not irritating, you can see your irritating self and you can adjust. And then finally, number five, you have your imagination self. You have the self that is seen through the eyes of what you imagine. And this self often gets worn down. The imagination self gets torn down and worn down primarily because through our memories and through the painful realities of what we're doing or what we're seeing in our perceiving self, these selves wear the imagination's self down. Einstein said the imagination is more important than knowledge itself, because your imagination self is not stuck on history or the past. Your imagination self has the potential to override the pain, the trauma, and everything and produce a self that lives beyond any sort of limit. And it's your imagination self is why we're doing this podcast. It was that moment when I was at Liberty Embroidery where I wanted to give up and I looked around. No one could hear me. I was invisible. I was just framing. But at the same time, I was using my imagination to see my current reality. What happens with your imagination is so powerful. Your imagination starts in your conscious mind, but then it goes into your subconscious mind. And your body starts to feel what you start to see. It's part of what makes us uniquely human, is that the moment you start to envisage or imagine something, as it becomes clear and the details become larger, you start to feel it and your entire nervous system starts to respond. And before you know it, like what Einstein talks about, your curiosity produces the sensory connection to what you start to see. That's the power of the imagination. Pulitzer Prize winning poet Rita Dove understands the power of imagining. She says, you have to imagine it possible before you can see something. You can have the evidence right in front of you, but if you can't imagine something that has never existed before, it's impossible. And while I believe there are enormous benefits to our capacity to experience tomorrow, today, there are many glitches in the system that you should be careful of. Research published in the scientific journal Neuropsychologica shows that we use the same neural wiring to recall the past as we do to envision the future. Brain scans reveal the same structures are employed in January to create goals as it is in December to review those same goals. Since these mechanisms often recreate inaccurate interpretations of the past, not precise video recall. Listen to this closely. Both our past and future are nonfiction. They're not just nonfiction, but they're nonfiction predilections of reality that are largely colored by our emotional filters. We use our past experiences as the backdrop for imagining the future. And since our memories aren't exact, our imaginations are predisposed to creating overly optimistic futures, which can set us up for disappointment. But equally as disturbing, in an attempt to avoid pain, the brain often exaggerates the consequences of learning from the society, what society deems problems, failures, disease. So you see, we have a dichotomy. What ends up happening is that our memories are colored by emotion. So we start to remember things that are not actually true. And then we start imagining fearful things. So the big lesson here is that you have to channel in the most healthy way an idea about what your past experiences have been. One of the reasons why a diary is so important is that when you diarize things, you clear up this potential glitch in our memories so that you don't find yourself trapped when your imagination has been held back by your past. So the idea is that you want a healthy imagination, not imagination that's being trapped by false memories. Have you ever met a new potential mate and told your friends, "Girl, I think I met the one," or started a job and posted on social media, "I found my dream job," only to discover that your well-scripted vision of your new partner and job couldn't have been further from what resulted? In her book, The Optimism Bias, Tali Shereau asked the following question: would you rather see yourself winning the Tour de France or surviving cancer? In this scenario, the brain's glitch is fully exposed. She chronicles how Lance Armstrong, the only person on Earth who has experienced both, said this of his experiences: "The truth is, if you ask me to choose between winning the Tour de France and cancer, I would choose cancer. Odd as that sounds, I would rather have the title of cancer survivor than winner of the Tour because of what it has done for me as a human being, a man, a husband, as well as a father." As you think about the past few months and your past experiences, remember that your mental movie script written by your imagination were concocted to advance you into a hope-filled future, whether you accomplished everything in your head or not. Keep imagining. It's a gift designed to influence your tomorrow. In the 1700s, English playwright Joseph Edison put it into perfect context. He says that everything that is new or uncommon raises a pleasure in the imagination because it fills the soul with an agreeable surprise, gratifies its curiosity, and gives it an idea of which it was not before possessed. What is the big takeaway? The big takeaway is quite simple. Everything in the brain is largely imaginative. Your memories, what you see is not reality. It's your brain creating a perception. It's like the placebo effect. If you think that what's touching your hand is fire, you will feel fire. Your imagination controls almost everything. The key is to have a healthy imagination, an imagination that is unbridled by the past, that is undeterred by what you see, undeterred by what other people see in you, and bold enough to imagine without limits. How do you get there? Spend time alone. Spend time in quiet spaces. Cut out the noise. Share with yourself that what I'm experiencing is being colored by emotions. Be honest with yourself. I had to be honest with myself. I had to say, look, there are people who actually enjoy this job at Liberty Embroidery. There are people here who are framing, have been framing for 40 years, and this is their destiny, and they're okay with it. There are people all throughout. There are people who are making a living. There are people who own this business that are doing really well, that are able to fund. So my reality was just my perspective and my ability to not apply emotions and what other people thought about me as a framer, how I saw framing. And I just sat back while I was framing, and I imagined myself in a different future. What this did for me was help me escape the pain of what I thought I was experiencing. But more importantly, it helped prepare my nervous system for what I'm doing now. Thanks for listening to the Brain and Brand Show. I'm really grateful. As I said before, please email me info@timothymaurice.com or follow me on social media, Instagram @InstaTimothy or Twitter @TimothyMaurice. We'll be back next week with the next episode of the Brain and Brand Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.